Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and glad everybody can be with us at our special time tonight of 10:30. And it is Dr. John here with Tony Filosi. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I am doing fine, John. It looks like it's going to be a really interesting show. I hope people stayed up for us, but if they have not, they can always play us back tomorrow.
Well, you know what's interesting is I was looking at the stats. I don't think anyone has listened to a podcast I have done live for the last 2 weeks. We've had a phenomenal number of downloads. I think people are finally getting the hang of the fact that we're on iHeartRadio. And, you know, everything is kind of copacetic there. So we're getting lots of downloads. So we can just have fun tonight. Then they can have fun tomorrow listening to us. First of all, I wanted to say that I, along with our co-host Robin McCray, who is out on top secret assignment tonight. We were at the Clemson Bigfoot Conference this weekend, had a blast, talked about a lot of neat things. We had Janice Carter with us who talked about Bigfoot language. And we had William Henry, who has become an amazing storyteller about his experiences in the woods. Just amazing. You'll get to hear him soon enough at one of our Bigfoot conferences, and we're looking forward to having you there, and it'll be fun. So anyway, that's what I did this weekend. And did you do any paranormal stuff this weekend, or did you just lay low?
I actually reviewed a lot of evidence. I'm working in a haunted mine right now that we've investigated before. I'm going back in and doing some different techniques like the single and double blind ghost box. And we caught, we've been catching some pretty good evidence with that, and actually caught some really good, caught a couple of really good EVPs in there. One was this mine's opened up in around 1920-ish and closed in the early 60s. And there's a lot of folks that have worked there during World War II. And we were asking those types of questions. And we got, I'm a horrible whistler, but, you know, back in World War II, they had, you know, different tunes for different parts of the branches of the military. And I think this one was from the Army, because we kept asking, did anybody serve? Did anybody serve? And we got this clear as a bell. I mean, that they we caught on the audio on the video camera. They had to be standing right beside of it. It went and nobody throw rotten tomatoes or anything, but it went kind of like this. And whistled the whole stinking tune.
Okay, and now that is Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Inside of mine.
Now, that's Bridge Over the River Kwai, and that is a British film. And I could tell you more if I took a quick look, but that was one of the greatest films ever made. And that's the march theme as they went over the bridge. So anyway,
okay,
somebody
before. Yes.
And so what you might want to do is you might want to check out the year that movie came out. I think it was in the late 50s or early 60s, and that might give you a clue as somebody that actually the time frame and someone that saw the movie and liked it. And maybe, you know, so there you go. Interesting. It's always good to share things. Well, we got some fun things to share tonight. I read a story and it just touched my heart and soul, because it said, you know, not all criminals are smart. They are not. And and we better be very careful, because I'm reading this out. Oh, my.
Allegra helps you say yes.
Sorry about that. That's
allergy relief. So let's go. And without hesitation, say yes.
That was coming from my script. So if you're ready. We got that. So
I
guess I qualify as part of Dumb and Dumber. Okay. In Florida, in Polk County, Florida. This is not too cool. A Florida man was arrested Saturday for the double murder of a couple. And investigators said that they were shot in the head while they slept. And then they were dumped in a swamp right behind their home. Now, that's terrible. So what happened is this man named Todd Jackson was taken into custody, and he's charged with two counts of first-degree murder, which is horrible. And then for some reason, he has vanished, and they're looking for him as hard and fast as they can. But here's what happened. So he shot this couple because he said they owed him $30,000. And it was in a trailer.
Wow.
He was in a trailer. And from the way he looks, he doesn't look like he's ever seen $30,000 except in his entire life working, you know, and just kind of, I don't know, it doesn't look real great. But anyway, this murder happened 2 weeks and a day ago. All right. So now it gets kind of strange. The first thing he did was he called their daughter's boyfriend. Now he's a 34-year-old dude, and he calls this 19-year-old boy and says, "I just shot her parents in the head. Come help me get rid of the bodies." Now, obviously,
this girl is not
real bright.
But this was the girl's parents that he shot?
Uh-huh.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So the boyfriend comes over.
And he calls her boyfriend to help hide the body?
Yeah, that can tell you the kind of relationship that these three might have had.
Yes.
So what happens is the boyfriend, the 19-year-old boyfriend, comes over, and they open the back windows of the trailer, and they push the bodies out of the back window and dump them. And they get dumped on the ground. So they walk around, they pick up each body separately and sling them into the swamp a couple hundred feet behind the trailer. Ugh. Then you know the situation with that mattress and the blood and all that. Doesn't say what they did. But anyway, so they do that. So a couple days later, the girlfriend goes out to sell this nice brand new big old truck that her dad had. This is like not cool. She says, "Well, my dad got murdered and he won't need it anymore, so I'll sell it to you for $200. And the first person that she asked that question to knew something had to be up. Why is she selling a big old new truck for $200? Because her daddy doesn't need it because he's dead, because he was shot in the head. And he realized, being in Polk County, he hadn't read about that in the newspaper. So he put two and two together, and he actually came up with 4.0, Tony. He called the Polk County cops.
Absolutely.
And they came and they put out an APB. And then they found her. And she confessed to the whole thing and said that her boyfriend helped dispose of the bodies along with her because she was kind of there watching everything. And then she's also gotten, along with being an accomplice to murder, which, you know, because she was around and didn't report it, then all of a sudden she is going to be clocked for selling stolen merchandise of a dead person, which is not, that's the worst thing she did, is, you know, trying to do that. And not real bright. She's 19
no, not
and
not.
So is her boyfriend. And just not, it's not a pretty bunch. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a pretty guy, but I mean, this is definitely not a pretty bunch. It's really not. And they look like,
they make us look good, John. They
make us look superb.
Really good,
Tony. Yes, they do. So anyway, so she goes, spill the beans, and all of a sudden the cops get called. They catch her. They catch the boyfriend. And they're looking for the man that did the murder. They may have caught him by now, because this story is about 3 or 4 days old. They may have caught him by now, but it's just seriously crazy. Okay, that's good. But yeah, this is what I call dumb and dumber. And this is what I would like to caution everybody and say this: if you're not real bright, don't commit a crime. You'll get caught. You'll get caught so badly. Not most certainly, but very badly. It just, you look so dumb. I mean, she's not the smartest girl in the world. And so, Tony, I'm sure up there in the wilds of Harlan, Kentucky, you have had some criminals that were not really bright, correct?
Yes, we've had criminals that were not the sharpest tools in the shed, pardon the pun.
That's right. Because you know so many, mm-hmm. because you study so many criminal activities up there, can you think of any criminals up there in Harlan in your research career that might qualify as runner-up to the Dumb and Dumber Award?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, we spoke of briefly on another show, but I actually am going to interview some folks that know a whole lot about this murder, but it's the Clyde Fields murder that, or actually his wife, in the early 80s. Clyde was a strange character. He was an abusive fella, and, you know, nobody knows why his wife stayed with him, but there's no situations like that where that they'll stick with him hoping they'll change. And that unfortunately came to a sad end one afternoon whenever this Clyde lured her into the bathroom, murdered her, cut her body up into pieces, and put them in bags, and was going about his merry way disposing of them whenever that her family had become suspicious, because she was on the phone with her mother whenever that it happened. She said, he's been, you know, Clyde's been good, been so good to me today. He told me to come to the bathroom. He's running me a bath. So her mother, knowing that there wasn't a good bone in this fellow's body, she hadn't heard back from her daughter in several hours, came looking for him, and she stumbled upon the murder scene and called the police. There was a huge search that ensued, and they caught him. They caught him. It didn't take a couple hours, but they caught him in a field hoeing corn after a murder.
You said hoeing corn?
Hoeing the weeds out of cornrows.
Okay. That's what I thought you said. Now, that is probably the last place. That is the last place I would be. Wouldn't that be the last place you'd ever be standing around waiting to get your ass caught? Pardon my South Carolina grammar there.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think the corn was that tall. I mean, it was like maybe waist high or so, and he's standing in this cornfield close to the murder scene, just hoeing corn like everyday's business. And whenever they called him, they said that he was that whenever he would take a step, that his boots would make a squishing sound like you had water in them, but it was blood. And he just mumbled around. They took him on into custody. But yeah, that he's the first one that came to mind after, cutting his wife up in the bathtub. He eludes people for a few hours, and he says, well, you know, I guess that's over with. I'm going to go hoe some corn. I've got to get something, positive done today.
Get something on the table.
Yeah. So, but
that is,
yeah,
that just makes you want to. That makes you want to swallow it, have it go down the wrong way, doesn't it?
That, well, yeah, I tell you, that makes you scratch your head, you know. But he wasn't, he didn't have the reputation as the brightest fellow around, you know.
Well, yep. Now, what year was that?
Early 80s. I don't know exactly what year, somewhere around between 80 and 83, I would say. possible.
Okay.
Between 79 and 83.
Thank you, Harlan, Kentucky, for having some of the most memorable people of all time.
Oh, yes.
And what happened to him? Did he go to the pokey?
Yeah.
Did he go to the chair?
No. No. He had obviously had mental problems. He went in. He pulled about 10 years, close to 10 years, got out on parole, and died of a heart attack, I think, working in the, out in the yard. Maybe he was.
I was going to say, out in the cornfield again?
I don't know. He's talking about that cornfield. But he died of a heart attack, from what I can tell. That's where these other, not necessarily witnesses, but these folks that live very, very close to the murder site. I made some contacts in the last couple of weeks that they were there, lived there during the murders. I'm going to interview them here in the next week or so and try to maybe write a little story on it.
Well, yeah, that would, once you get it published, I would invite you to let us publish it in on our site, Murder123, because we're going to start doing some of that. I think people would like to hear about some of the stories. And I tell you what,
absolutely.
So that's an interesting story. But for all the dumb and dumbers that commit crimes, there are some awfully smart people out there who have never gotten caught. You know?
Right.
And I've got a terrible, terrible story of a couple guys that did not get caught. And this is really one of the most heart-wrenching stories that I've ever heard. And it's on Nancy Grace right now. This happened in the mid-80s. A 13-year-old boy, he was a little leaguer. He was just the popular nice kid that everybody liked. And he asked his mother, this happened in Michigan, he asked his mom if he could just ride to the 7-Eleven and buy some candy, because back then, true when I was going to school, you could sell candy and stuff at recess, bubble gum and all that stuff. And they, school didn't really care. He wanted
to
make a little bit of money. So he bikes over a couple blocks to the 7-Eleven, and he goes in, and he's got his little bag of candy and his receipt in his hand. And the story goes that this car pulled up alongside of him when he was biking back to his house. And these two men in a white car were apparently trying to get him to get in their car, which does not sound good for the 13-year-old. It just doesn't. And apparently he started biking away. And now two of his friends were in the car with their father, and they happened to pass by, and they saw what happened. And as soon as he turned around and started biking away, the guy on the passenger side just pulled out a gun and shot him in the back of the head and killed him. Right in, broad daylight in the middle of a
13-year-old.
Yeah, just shot him. And nobody but the two boys that knew him in the car and the dad heard it. And then they just drove on up off like nothing had happened. And I guess it's terrible that they shot the kid. They've never been able to figure out who did it. They do know that he must have known the men because they heard the boys say, he said, "Well, I'm going to tell my parents." And so they just decided they didn't want any part of that and shot him and killed him. And they were smart enough to know that if they just shot him and killed him, probably nobody would notice the gunshot. And they were right. They got by with a calculated risk. Very sad story. And the mother is still trying to figure out who shot her kid. And it's going to be it's the first story on the new Nancy Grace show on the Fox Nation Network. I do want to watch that. It's sad. And, We got bad people out there all over committing murders, and you just really hope that they get caught. But it is amazing.
It's those folks.
I do too, but it's really interesting when you said that your boy Clyde, was his name Clyde?
Clyde Fields.
Clyde, how can you get out after 10 years for a hatchet job? I mean, it seems like if he had mental problems, how could they let him? How would they let him out after 10 years with nobody to watch over him?
I don't know. I mean, that's it's one of those things that you would think that whenever you kill someone, especially if that brutally, that you're never going to see the light of day again. It wasn't a crime of passion. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't, you know, oh, God, I'm sorry. It was he lured her into the bathroom. He killed her. He cut her up. He wandered around for a few hours and decided he wanted to go hoe corn because he was over that shit, excuse my language. You know,
was the body still in the bathtub?
No, pieces of it. He put her in bags, from what I understand.
Oh.
Pieces of it may have been. But that, I'm going to do a little bit more research and try to get more of the details like that, you know. Because it's a very interesting story. Then there was a urban legend that he had remarried and that he was planning on doing this to his second wife. She got afraid and they were working in the yard and somehow either a tree got on him or, you know, a piece of equipment and crushed him to death with because she was the perpetrator of that. But I think that's just it's a cool story, but I think that's just an urban legend. I hope it's true, because that's got like a heck of an ending to that guy. Be like the Manziel Shepherd thing, poetic justice, you know, him getting killed in a courtroom for that brutal murder that he did in 42. But, yeah, this guy was something else. He during the couple hours he was gone, they tracked him through the woods and they found a couple places where he had been sitting, not while he was running from them, but in the past. And whenever he was caught, you know, they questioned him about that. He says, "Well, I couldn't figure out who I wanted to kill that day." So he apparently he had two or three choices of or people picked out that he was going to murder one of them. So I mean, this guy's we actually during an investigation close by where the murder took place, I've caught some EVPs from Clyde Fields.
Yep. Well, I can't wait to hear more about Clyde, and maybe he can be one of our episodes. Once you get that done, and I think that would be interesting. We'll be sure to have the whole crowd here, and that will be a very interesting thing. So that is, I guess, our story of Dumb and Dumber, the murderers. They do happen. But now, I've got an interesting segment for Murder 123. What I can tell you is Dr. Oz. Do we all like Dr. Oz? Do you like Dr. Oz?
Yes, absolutely.
He's a little bit of a nutcase. He's a little bit over the top on holistic medicines, but I think he's just cool. I like him. And he came up with a list. It's kind of what you need to do or not to do in order to get the coronavirus. This is his list. And today, I, of course, was very fortunate to get to spend about an hour on the phone with the newly appointed Surgeon General of Murder 123. Dr. Trey Donaway has accepted the position of being our Surgeon General. Don't you think that's great, Tony?
That is just very cool.
Yes, we've got our own Surgeon General, and he's a heck of a surgeon, too. So anyway, he and I were talking, and I told him about this list from Dr. Oz about what you should do to be able to contain and try not to get coronavirus. So I said, Dr. Dunaway, wouldn't it be interesting if on Murder 123, I talked about how to murder somebody by giving them coronavirus? And he laughed. He said, that would be an interesting take. So in the spirit in which it's given tonight, along with his comments, I'm going to tell you, Tony, and all the listeners, I'm going to take Dr. Oz's list and tell you how to give somebody coronavirus, because nobody in their right mind wants to do it. So the first thing, I call up Trey, Dr. Trey. I said, how you doing? He said, wash your hands. Burst out laughing. He said to me, that's always the first thing he says, wash your hands. He says, don't use Purex. Now, do you know why, Tony?
No, do not.
It's an interesting thing. If you use these hand sanitizers, where does the result reside once you use it? It dries on your hands.
Yes.
So if the hand sanitizer doesn't kill the coronavirus, where is it still located? It's still on your hands. But if you wash your hands with soap and water, what happens to the residue and potentially virus that is not killed or eliminated? Where does it go?
If you wash it down the sink with warm water.
That is exactly right. So you have a better chance of getting rid of it if you wash your hands. I didn't ask him about using Purex, then washing your hands, but I think that's a mute point. Wash your hands. So if you want to make sure that someone gets coronavirus, go ahead and give them some food or whatever, and don't mention to wash their hands. That's a great way to get them infected. And, of course, don't wipe off your kitchen countertop wipe them off.
If someone was going to do this, what would their theme song be? Like, My Corona? I don't know, maybe.
Yes, and weren't you telling me that My Corona has now been made what I thought. That's right. Well, I just acted like I hadn't heard it, but I heard it. It's funny.
Yeah.
Funny as all get out. So just listen to My Corona. Just
Corona.
Type that on in Google, and lo and behold, you'll have it. So now, the next thing to do if you want to promote coronavirus is don't get at least 7 hours of sleep a night. Call your friend a couple times during the night, every night, and make sure that they don't get very much sleep. That's a great thing to do to help them get coronavirus. And then don't exercise. Just sit there. Don't exercise. And don't improve your air quality by using a humidifier. Now, wait a second. This doesn't make any sense. That's right. Viruses dislike humid air. So use a humidifier. Don't cut on the fan and let everything go out and dry the air out, because drying the air out is going to promote what the coronavirus likes. And then when you're on an airplane, try to not sit next to someone who is blowing their nose and coughing as much as you can. Volunteer for the escape seats next to the wings. Try to sit in the very back of, that would be the thing to do to avoid coronavirus. But if you want to get it or get your friend to get it, be sure to make sure they're sitting next to someone who's coughing and sneezing. Isn't that great?
Right. What now, while they're coughing and sneezing, would you offer them a Corona Extra as a beverage?
Likely.
Possibly.
Because, as we all know, alcohol lowers your immune system just a little bit. Makes you feel good, too. So that's what you would do. And make sure that your friend shakes everyone's hand. And kind of push them into people, And what I've started doing is I bump elbows now because of coronavirus. That'll help you keep from shaking hands. But if you want someone to get coronavirus, just make sure that they shake everyone's hand. And, of course, touch their faces. Because you really shouldn't be touching faces of people. So have them touch other people's faces. I mean, maybe they'd want to, but so there you go. And, of course, eat foods that don't support the immune system, like leafy greens, fruits high in vitamins, and citrus and blackberries and kiwi that provide your body with essential vitamins and minerals. Don't eat those. Eat lots of fried food from McDonald's. And by the way, you've seen that meme on the web. A guy found a McDonald's cheeseburger in his pocket after 4 years, and he opened it up, and he looked at it. It looked exactly the same as he got it 4 years prior to that. Anything like that is full of all kinds of preservatives and everything, that's exactly what you want people to eat, and that'll help them get coronavirus. And then, if you start getting these symptoms, keep going out and working hard and sweat and don't rest, you know. But then if you get really sick, go on into the hospital at the peak time and see if you can't infect people. So if you do the opposite from everything I just said, that's what you need to do to prevent coronavirus. And I just want to briefly go under it because I thought it was an interesting take. And so be sure to wash your hands and disinfect all your surfaces. And get rest. I'd say get 8 hours worth of sleep a night because that will help your immune system. A lot of it is about your immune system. Try to eat right. Try to eat vegetables that will improve everything about you. And, you know, as much as we love the all-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, onion, pickles on a sesame seed bun, and I hear Burger King is going out of business in a lot of places, don't be eating those things just because the Whopper or the Big Mac has a little bit of lettuce. Don't let that count as your daily supply of greens. Don't shake people's hands. Eliminate face touching. And by the way, they have found out that coronavirus can last at least 9 hours on a surface. Are you aware of that,
yes,
Tony? That is
right. And they're recommending that if you live in areas where that you think the virus is circulating, you do decontamination measures as soon as you wash your hands with soap and water, disinfect the inside of your vehicle, your phone, your keys. But whenever you come into the house, when you go home in the evening, take off your clothes at the washer and dryer and immediately put your clothing in there. And most people's washer and dryer are situated usually either toward the back door, maybe in the basement, go directly to that location and put your clothes in the washer and dryer, go ahead and wash them. Because if you don't, you're going to contaminate your whole home.
And then, there's something the Japanese constantly do that we need to do as well. Take your shoes off as you walk in the door.
Absolutely, because you will track it through. That's a very good point. What you'll do if you don't do that and you have something on your clothes, you've contaminated your whole living area.
And so just everybody be careful. We were making a little bit of jest, but I've heard, nobody knows what the coronavirus is going to do. Many experts say, well, it'll be okay. I mean, less people will be killed from that than the flu. But we really don't know. We don't have that much experience with it. There was a lady apparently in Japan that got it a second time, and we don't know how that works.
Yes.
We don't have enough data. Our Surgeon General, Dr. Trey Donaway, said, John, once we get even a little bit of data, give us a month, and most all of us in the medical profession will have a general idea. We know how to read data and think about data. And once we have a little bit of data, we'll start being able to make sense out of this whole thing, and we'll be able to let people know what to do and what not to do and what to expect. But until we don't, self-quarantining is good. I've got to go ahead and admit this to you and admit it to everybody. I started doing self-quarantining the beginning of last week. I mean, I just stay in the house and work online. I do.
Now the Japanese woman, will she call it the second time? Do they call it Corona Light?
I don't know what they called it, but it was. You know, we don't know if she really hadn't healed and finished the cycle of that virus, or did she catch it again? Like in general, when you get the flu, I'm just saying in general,
right?
We don't hear about such a large percentage of the population catching it directly again, because our body does build up some degree of immunity for anything that we get, and it helps us keep from getting it the second time immediately. But some people do, and not being a qualified healthcare provider or anything, we don't know if they just didn't get over it or if they got it a second time. So data is going to help us. There is one set of positive data, except that it comes from China. But they tracked 150 women who had coronavirus and gave birth to children. And none of the children – now, the study says – I don't know if we can trust it or not. But the study says that none of the children had the coronavirus, which is very positive. But that alone brings up some interesting questions, because if you look at it, the infant during pregnancy is sharing the mother's blood.
Blood, right.
And how, you know, I'm not trying to be weird, but you see, these are some of the questions. I said, well, again, when I was talking to our Surgeon General, these were some of the questions we were discussing about the results of some of these studies that we see. And I don't know. And that's why I would say the only data we could really trust would come from the United States, Canada. I'm not going to say Mexico, because they don't have that many cases of it yet, or the European Union. And that's where I would say that the data would come from that we could really trust, because we can go over there. I mean, as far as I know, China has not allowed the CDC to come over there, at least from the United States. I don't know if that has changed. I have not seen the notification of that, and if they've let them in there, maybe they haven't told anybody. But you just have to be careful. And we don't want any of our marvelous, marvelous fans to get that. And so please be careful.
No.
Love all of it. And we went to great lengths tonight when we had a technology meltdown. We went to great lengths to make sure that we gave you a show that was interesting, a little coy at times, but, you know, some good advice, seriously, about the coronavirus. And be careful. We don't know. There are some people that say it's going to be fine, no problem. I can tell you this, that at the busiest Walmart neighborhood market in Myrtle Beach, and Tony, you might guess that that's a busy Walmart neighborhood market, correct?
Oh, yeah.
They're half out of food. They're out of water. I mean,
already?
I got 7 boxes of diet drinks and a 36-pack of Deer Park water, I'll have you know. And I've got enough pasta to kill somebody. So, you know, hope I don't have to.
There have been cases reported and videos let out of people getting in the fights over toilet paper.
Oh, there was a lady with an entire shopping basket full of toilet paper and paper towels. What do they do at her house? I'm sorry. But I'll tell you something else. And I'll admit this. I lived with a French couple for 6 years back when I was right out of college. It was one of the best experiences I ever had. Number one, they go to the market, the grocery store, every day. And I checked for a month, and they spent less money on groceries going every day. because they only bought what they needed for a day or two, and the food didn't go to waste. Number two, they did not use paper towels. Every 6 months or so, she would buy herself a pack of white kitchen towels. Use them for 6 months, throw them away, and get another pack. And they were like about $2 or $3. And so for about $6 a year, she avoided spending almost $200 on paper towels.
Right.
And she said, it's easy, John. It's called bleach. You get them dirty. You throw them in the washer. You throw a little bleach in there and a little bit of soap, and boom, they're clean. And you dry them, and the heat will disinfect them. And they never used paper towels. And I think that's very smart.
That's actually a good idea. Yes, it is.
It's a great idea. Now, the Scott Paper Company or S.C. Johnson would not like that. But, you know, there are things you learn from different cultures that can be very saving. And I go to the grocery store every day. You know, and some days I don't have to go. And goodness gracious, I save a lot of money on groceries. I see people going in and buying, they'll get a check and buy $200 worth of groceries. Now, they don't know if they're going to eat all that stuff or not.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. And so I buy, you know, about 2 days worth of groceries every day or every other day. And golly, it's just wonderful. When I spend $40 in a week for groceries on one person, $40 a week is pretty cheap to eat on and eat well. Don't you think?
Yes, it is.
Period. And that even includes my detergents and things, you know, 40, 50 at the most, if I have to get, you know, some household supplies. But that's cheap. And I frankly know that I eat better than these people that buy boxes and boxes of Lucky Charms. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, absolutely right.
So anyway, that's what I've got to say. I'm sorry I'm digressing.
That's okay.
In the murder realm of things.
They need this information.
Pardon me?
They need good common sense. They need this information. They need good common sense ways to protect themselves. You know, I mean, we were, you know, making fun of it just a little bit in the beginning. But, you know, in all seriousness, you know, like you said, we don't want anybody getting sick. And if they will follow some common sense rules, it may keep them either from getting sick or prolong it until there is a vaccine or more medicines available, you know. So the longer you can prolong this stuff and keep it away from you, the better off you are.
And no pun intended, but this is the truth. I can work at home with my computer. I have a good solid antivirus on my computer, and it's just fine. And frankly, I've gotten more work done today than normal, just running around. So everybody needs to be careful. And so we've now talked about, I guess, some important things, at least important to you and I for Murder 123 fans. First of all, we've talked about the dumb and dumber criminals. And now we've talked a little bit about coronavirus, because I think it's very important to talk about it and make sure we know what's going on. Because I guess I'm going to get my last plug for my brand new website. Are you ready, Tony?
I'm ready. I'm ready, John.
It's called buylowsellhigh.finance. And I'm a certified hedge fund professional. And right now, with all the havoc going on in the world markets of stocks and certain commodities like oil, you know, when Russia and Iran and Saudi Arabia are now having a price war on oil, it is creating havoc for people. I mean, the market has lost close to 18% in the last 2 weeks, and that is some horrible things for some 401ks, and people need to know how to, at least a little bit of my advice. I've got some experience. I haven't done all that badly, and I'm gonna be putting up some things, and the first article is about, it's actually Dr. Oz's list of what to do to avoid coronavirus, because I think that's just as important as anything else in terms of financial knowledge. So that's what's going on, and we'll see what the market does tomorrow. It's doing, of course, the very worst thing in the world right now. The futures indicate it's up about 650 points right now, which is an invitation for a complete disaster in the morning on the at the opening bell. It's recovering, and once it recovers, it would have been better if it had gone down tonight. Then there would have been a good chance for a big up day tomorrow, but looks like we might have a down day just because of the way this thing is moving and the coronavirus and international tensions and everything, and of course, I think the presidential elections, the extreme uncertainty over the Democratic candidate, the extreme uncertainty over what will happen in the election, that it's all causing a problem, and it's reflected in the stock market. And I hope people can play it safe and not lose everything they've got like they did in 1929, like they did in 1993, and like they did in 2000, 2001, and in 2008. And now they're and in 1963, right after the assassination of John Kennedy, the market absolutely crashed. And right at the time of his assassination, the next day, the market shot up and didn't stop until 1993. Just crazy stuff. But anyway, I hope everybody will take care in these difficult times. Be careful who you let draw your bath. Would you say that's a good lesson to be learned?
Yes, especially if you've had a little, a few disagreements with them. Yeah, I would be very careful about that, especially if you have a cornfield anywhere near your house.
Okay, Tony, okay. Well, I guess what I will say is on behalf of Robin McRae and Devin Tate, who are off on special assignments tonight, Tony, what do you have to help conclude this marvelous episode of Dumb and Dumber and the Coronavirus? What are your parting thoughts?
Wash your hands. Seriously.
You and our personal Surgeon General have the same thing to say.
Wash your hands. I think common sense should prevail. You know, it's okay to put a little bit of food back and things like that, but do things commonsensically, if that's even a word, and wash your hands, avoid large crowds if you can, and because we want everyone healthy to come back and listen at us, right here on Murder 1-2-3.
Well, all I've got to say is, work sometimes precludes that. We will be doing caricatures at the largest St. Patrick's Day in the state this weekend, which is in North Charleston.
God.
I know. And then the next week, we're at the second largest St. Patrick's Day celebration, which is at Five Points in Columbia. So Tony, in about 4 weeks, you'll know if I have gotten lucky and if I washed my hands enough.
Wash your hands, John. Wash your hands.
And I might have to take some Purex to these events, even though it may leave a little bit on my hands, it'll be the best that I can do. So we'll probably take a large bottle and go through that and all that. So I'll let you know how it goes. I'll let you know if I'm feeling faint next Monday night. And as our own private personal Surgeon General, the good doctor, says, oh, by the way, this is so interesting because the good doctor is in the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in South Carolina. Do you know what the epicenter of the coronavirus in South Carolina is, Tony?
Camden.
Camden, South Carolina, in Kershaw County, is the epicenter. Of all places, our Surgeon General is. But what's great is he just left a job at a nursing home. So he said, might not be a bad idea. I guess my timing was good because those nursing homes can be very, very dangerous.
Yes, that's what happened in Washington, I believe.
Washington State, yes, sir. And we extend sympathy to the families of all the victims of coronavirus there. So everybody take care. I've enjoyed, Tony, as you know, we love having Robin and Devin on. But sometimes it's good for you and I to just hang out on Murder 1-2-3 and talk and see where it goes. So
absolutely.
On behalf of everybody, we'll say good night, and we will hopefully see you and Robin and maybe Devin Thursday night. What's Thursday night at 10:30? What happens?
Scary cat.
Yes, and so better make sure we've got an appropriate guest. guest or topic. It's always fun, and look forward to seeing you then. So, Tony, have a great week. Be careful. Wash your hands. Okay?
That's right.
We'll see all the Murder 123 fans next week on our show, 10 p.m. Eastern. Have a good one.
Good night, everyone.
Night. British lady, where are you?